Welcome to Our Missouri, a podcast about the people, places, culture, and history of the 114 counties and independent city of St. Louis that comprise the great state of Missouri. Each episode focuses on a topic related to the state, ranging from publications about Missouri's history to current projects undertaken by organizations to preserve and promote local institutions. The Our Missouri podcast is recorded at the Center for Missouri Studies in Columbia and is generously provided to you by the State Historical Society of Missouri. And now, here's your host, Sean Ross.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, or wherever you're tuning in to listen to the Our Missouri podcast. My name is Sean Ross, and we explore the memories, moments, and misfortunes from Our Missouri. Welcome back to our series on the Bookshelf, where we look at new publications on Missouri history. Our guest today is Sydney J. Norton. She's an independent scholar, translator, and educator from St. Louis, and she earned a PhD in general literature and cultural studies from the University of Minnesota. She has published multiple books and articles on contemporary German art and literature, Weimar era performing and visual arts, and the German abolitionist movement in the United States. Her new book, Fighting for a Free Missouri, German Immigrants, African Americans, and the Issue of Slavery, was published by the University of Missouri Press in 2023. Welcome to Our Missouri, Sydney.
Thank you so much for inviting me to talk about my book.
Now let's dive into that book here. Talk a little bit about the origins of that project. Where does this book project come from?
Well, the idea for it originated many years ago, actually. I had traveled to Herman, Missouri with my husband on a little weekend excursion. And we were in the museum there, which is actually a German school built in 1871. And I was thumbing through one of those illustrated publications that you find in Missouri on Herman. And there were pages and pages on their wineries, their farming practices, how industrious the German immigrants were. And I came across a tiny paragraph saying that Herman was a hotbed of anti-slavery activity as early as the 1840s. And that was unusual because, as you know, Missouri came into the Union as a slave state in 1821. And the Missouri River Valley was fertile, as you know, and most of the neighbors were slaveholders. So that was quite radical to be anti-slavery, vocally anti-slavery, in the 1840s and early 1850s. And I found that really intriguing and actually organized an exhibition on it. And from that exhibition, there was a lady named Cecilia Nadal who read an exhibition essay, the catalog essay, and she was very inspired. She's an African-American sociologist and playwright. She was inspired by what a lot of these Germans did. And she started doing her own research on the relationship between Germans and African-Americans. And this project just developed organically. She organized some symposia. We got to know African-American scholars of Missouri. And we just realized it would be a fantastic collection of essays if we could get everyone involved.
Now, talk a little bit about the source material. Obviously, you're not only dealing with English language sources, but also German language sources. So what are the archives and collections and even newspapers that you're going through and your contributors are going through really to kind of get into the details on the various subject matters?
Yes. As I mentioned, this whole thing was kind of an organic process. So I started this research back when developing the exhibition. And at first I went to the usual suspects, like the Missouri History Museum archives. And I looked at their Anzeige des Westens, which was the largest German-speaking publication west of the Mississippi prior to the Civil War and during the Civil War. And then I started exploring some of the smaller archives in the rural areas. A big one was the Historic Herman Museum and the Gasconade County Historical Society. There, Edvard Mühl was the publisher of the Hermanner Wochenblatt, which was the Herman Weekly. And that was this newspaper I was telling you that was anti-slavery way back, you know, early 1850s, late 1840s. And there I found a fantastic book that I would not have found elsewhere called the damned Dutch for the Union. And a lot of the Anglos referred to the Germans not as Deutsch, what you're supposed to, but Dutch. They just, you know, they call them all Dutch. And so that was a, this is translated newspaper accounts of the Civil War from the Herman Weekly as well, but by a later publisher. And those were fascinating because they were firsthand accounts of what was going on in Gasconade County. And I went to the St. Louis Mercantile Library at UMSL. And there I met Steve Rowan, who is one of the foremost scholars of German immigrants and abolition. And I found his incredible translations of the St. Louis Radical Press, which I used, you know, throughout, and the other contributors did too, and Bornstein's Memoirs of a Nobody, and Lincoln University Archives, where I worked with Mark Schlaer, who is the archivist. We explored the relationships between some of the German immigrants who helped found Lincoln University alongside the members of the United States Colored Troops who also, so there were a lot. Also Washington Historical Society, the Washington Turners. These little places were really helpful because I wouldn't have found these sources elsewhere. I wouldn't have known where to look in a bigger archive.
Now, when we talk about, you know, Germans in Missouri, a common name that comes up is someone like Gottfried Dude. And yet, though that is earlier on in the 19th century, I can speak, you know, personally, my own ancestors came to Missouri in the 1860s and 70s. So not quite in that earlier Duden group. For the kind of the novice listener, who is Gottfried Duden, but also what were these major periods of German migration into the state over its history?
That's a really important question. So Gottfried Duden is an interesting character. Because he was basically a wealthy lawyer, you know, very independent. And he traveled to Missouri in 1824, just 3 years after Missouri entered the Union as a slave state. And he explored it and was, you know, intrigued by the topography. He thought it was a lot like German topography. And he even had a farmhouse built on 270 acres of prime farmland just outside of Dutzau, Missouri. And he lived there for 3 years. And upon his return to Germany, he self-published a book. And it was on the, he called it the Western States of America, but he was actually focusing on Missouri. And he described the state's idyllic conditions for German farmers, and he encouraged his people, the Germans, to settle there. Now, it was strange because he self-published it, but it was a huge bestseller, and it drew thousands of Germans to Missouri. And I mentioned he idealized the state, he idealized the land, but the only issue was that he was wealthy enough to bring his own farmer to Missouri. And the farmer is the one who tended the soil while he sat in his, you know, lovely farmhouse and wrote. And the Germans who came were excited, but they actually arrived in a wilderness, and it was not the idyllic land that he described. It could be pretty miserable. You know, they had to clear their own land. It was very, very difficult for them, but his book inspired thousands to come to the state of Missouri. You asked about the other groups, their generations, your group. You said your family came in the 1860s?
Yeah, essentially that period immediately after the Civil War. Yeah.
After the Civil War. Okay, so there's an early generation of Germans. They're referred to as the Greys because they were the older generation. They came in the 1830s. Some of them came to farm, and again, some of them were prosperous. And there was the Hermann settlers who came from the Philadelphia Society, Settlement Society on the East Coast. And they spoke German, and they were just wanted to get away from the East Coast because the Germans were assimilating. They believed too much into American culture. They were losing their language. They ended up in Hermann. And then there were the 48ers who came 12 to 15 years later. And they were basically revolutionaries to create a republic in Germany. They were much different. They were, most of them were anti-slavery, but they were much more progressive in their values and were willing to fight for democracy. So those were the main groups who came, who were involved in the anti-slavery activity and fighting for the Union.
Now, over the course of the book, there's several contributors and several themes that kind of emerge within the project. Talk a little bit about some of these major topics that readers might be interested in as they go through the book.
So I'm going to focus mostly on the themes because I don't want to give too much away, but the themes are important. And it's an unusual book because it's a collection of essays by some of the foremost scholars on German immigration, but also African American history. But then we also have essays by some young scholars who, you know, are, they're just starting out. And then also an essay by the sociologist I mentioned before, Cecilia Nadal, who talks about modern relationships between Germans and African Americans and how that's kind of a legacy of what was going on during the Civil War and beyond. But some of the major themes are, well, the 48ers, yeah, who, as I mentioned before, they were seeking a country with Republican values, and they venerated the American Constitution and how their attitudes about freedom and equality carried over into their political activism in the States. That comes across in many of the essays. And there's a great chapter by Dr. John Wright, and he's one of the foremost historians of Missouri African American history, who together with his son has contributed a piece on the history of African Americans in Missouri and how their lives, the lives of both free and enslaved Blacks, were informed by changing and more stringent laws regarding people of color. And we also learn from him that Blacks were in Missouri Territory way before the Germans, way before there was even a state, and even before there was a United States. They were enslaved people who came with the French. And that essay really gives us some historical context about what was going on when the Germans came. A lot of interesting information that people don't know unless they are, you know, scholars of African American history. And then we learn about the German immigrants. We learn that most of them were anti-slavery, but there were very diverse opinions in the anti-slavery camp. Some were more conservative, and they favored gradual emancipation and remuneration to slaveholders. And some favored this kind of controversial colonization of the emancipated slaves to Liberia. But there were other anti-slavery proponents who were true abolitionists, such as Henry Bornstein's son, Augustus. And he believed in immediate emancipation, no remuneration to slaveholders. He publicly criticized Lincoln for his delayed response concerning slavery. And he ended up joining, he owned this paper. He was the publisher of the Anzeiger des Westens when his father left. He ended up selling the newspaper and joining the United States Colored Troops. And he fought alongside African Americans for the Union. That's how dedicated he was to the cause of abolition. We learn that there were the early generation of Germans who were opposed to slavery, sometimes had enslaved people living on their property, not a lot of that. And there's a discussion of that, of how, you know, from our contemporary perspective, it seems hypocritical and really unacceptable. But we learn about how these earlier prosperous Germans kind of assimilated into the society of the landowning gentry because that's who was around, and slavery at this early time was, you know, an accepted practice. And even though they were opposed to it, they sometimes they couldn't find servants, what they were used to where they were, so they had a slave living on their property. But we also know from this early generation that the Hermann settlers did not own slaves. So there was a belief, you know, they were dedicated to not owning slaves. And the 48ers who came 12 to 15 years later were completely opposed to slavery in theory and practice. And some of them wouldn't even settle in Missouri. Some of them did, but some of them chose to settle in the free state of Illinois because they just didn't want to have anything to do with it. So there were just all of these diverse groups, and you have to look at them. You have to look at all of them. Otherwise, you just say, oh, if they were anti-slavery, they were heroes, and that was not the case.
I'm intrigued in many ways by the chapter you include later on, chapter 7 on the Missouri Turner Societies. Talk a little bit about that, not only your interest in that, but really the history behind that as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there, strangely, there hasn't been a whole lot written on the Missouri Turners. I mean, they're discussed in chapters on the Civil War, but they were a pretty influential and positive group, I would say, back then. If you've ever been to Forest Park, there's a giant monument dedicated to this guy called Turnvater Jan. And in German, that means the father of gymnastics. And it's very interesting because he never even set foot on American soil, but he had a lot of followers over here. And he was a Prussian, and in Berlin, he established a movement of male gymnastics. I mean, he really wasn't interested in women joining the Turners at all, but later on there were women Turners. That turned into a mass movement. And they were nationalistic. They were pretty extremely nationalistic, but they were part of this was because they were opposed to French occupation, and they wanted to fight against that and drive the French out of the German territories. And they also wanted Republican reform a lot. And the 48ers got involved in the Turner Societies. They were in incredible physical condition. They could fence. And Jan invented the parallel bars, the rings, the high bar, and the pommel horse, which we use for even in the Olympics. So he was a pretty innovative figure. But the 48ers had to leave because the uprisings in the German state were unsuccessful. And many of them, as you know, came to the United States, and many came to Missouri. Because they were in such great physical shape and they were Republicans, they were some of the earliest volunteers. When Lincoln called for volunteers, they were ready to fight, and they were largely responsible for Missouri remaining in the Union. What's interesting is some of the Turners who stayed over there, who did not have to leave because they weren't revolutionaries, were incredibly conservative and anti-foreign. And I remember having a conversation with Steve Rowan, and he said he saw some Turners in Austria, and they were downright frightening because they were just the opposite side of the political spectrum. But in the United States, they were Republicans, so they helped the Union.
Looking at the project overall, what are some key takeaways, or a key takeaway that you have that you hope readers get from the book?
Readers will learn if they don't. This book is for scholars, but it's also for lay people and also educators. I hope educators use it in their history courses. Readers will learn that Missouri German immigrants as a group were heroic in supporting Lincoln. I mean, they made history by supporting Lincoln and preserving Missouri for the Union. They will also become knowledgeable about the parallel history of Missouri African Americans. And I think that's a real positive aspect of the book, where you can read about Missouri African American history elsewhere, but it's never given, you know, historical context when looking at the Germans. And that is incredibly informative. We learned that these Germans, even though the act was heroic, they were not saints. There were some who supported anti-slavery legislation only when it served their own purposes. And we learn also that many of them did not support Black suffrage when it came to voting for that. they became more conservative or concerned about, you know, their own personal agendas, but some of them did. And we learn about some of the radical Republicans who were Germans, such as Arnold Kekel and Friedrich Hecker, some of these guys who really dedicated their lives to social equality and equal education until the end, even much later than the Civil War. And finally, I just want to say that these essays are a fascinating read. And we have some of the most distinguished scholars of German and African American history. Walter Kampfhoefner wrote a piece. Gary Kramer wrote the foreword. That's a personal take on how his family was, you know, German immigrants and how it came to be that he studied with one of the foremost African American scholars at Lincoln and taught there. I mentioned John Wright, the African American history scholar, Missouri African American history. Steve Rowan wrote a fascinating chapter on Henry Bornstein. It's called Henry Bornstein and Slavery, A Wild Ride. And it is a wild ride when you read it. He's a fantastic writer and he draws you in. Other ones are Kristen Lane Anderson, a young scholar named Manuela Engstler from Germany. And I mentioned before the sociologist and playwright Cecilia Nadal, who writes the final essay, and two by me. So it's a fantastic read. There are 10 essays, and I would highly recommend it, not because I'm the editor of the book, but just because it's pretty interesting.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today and talking about the great new book. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Our Missouri podcast. If you would like to learn more about the podcast, including past and future episodes, information about guests and upcoming events, please visit our website at shsmo.org/our-Missouri.